Blog Talk Radio.
Kira was trying to give me some advice, but
I'm there.
Oh, my God. I think we got it.
Okay, awesome.
This is so wild.
Okay, so basically we're live right now?
Yep. Hello, everyone.
Okay, so...
Hang on. So everybody's just going to have to, you know, if you're listening to this live, just bear with us. It's our first time. We're going to call Damien Holbrook in just a second, but I already downloaded our intro. Are you ready?
Okay.
Kira was trying to give me some advice, but now she has a banana stuck to her arm because her kid won't stop throwing.
Mom Squad.
We are the moms of the Mom Squad.
It is Christine.
I'm so graceful about telling my poor 10-year-old that he's got things crawling in his head. That's not traumatic.
And Kira.
I wake up in the morning, gnarly morning breath. My husband, daisies.
Mom Squad.
If you're a mom, if you're a parent, if you just like to know what working women are talking about on a daily basis.
Mom Squad.
Mom Squad.
Welcome to the Mom Squad show. We are the moms of the Mom Squad. I'm Christine.
And I'm Kira. We're live. This is scary and exciting at the same time.
It's so weird. I have no idea if people can actually hear us. I don't know. But this
that's,
is so
that's
fun.
The best part. We could be talking to
and
ourselves.
You know what? Right, which is basically how we roll anyway. Can chat with listeners. So there's like a little chat box. So if you're listening right now, go to momsquadshow.com, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and you can get to, it's called Blog Talk Radio. So we're just giving, you know, this a chance because we've got a great guest on today, and we wanted you guys to have a chance to call in and talk to him because he is the guru of everything that is television. And if you've listened to the show, then you know that Kira and I are completely obsessed with all things television. So we thought we'd give this a try. But we can chat with people from, what do you always say?
What do I always say? Well, I say a lot of things. I got to watch myself. We're live.
South Korea to Cincinnati, baby.
South Korea to Cincinnati. That's right. I mean, it's incredible when you look at the people that are downloading and listening to our show. I mean, I wonder, do you think we're the only ones with such a worldwide audience, a mom show?
Absolutely.
With a worldwide audience?
Of course we are, Kira. Of course we are. Because, well, we're just special like that. So this is really cool. I hope this is working. No clue. But
how are we going to find out?
It is. Well, we should have people call in. Give us a call. The phone number, if you're listening right now, is, oh my gosh, see, I'm still learning this whole thing too, 646-721-9635. And so I put it on Facebook and Twitter, but I said technically we were starting at 11 because you and I, we're not the most technical people in the world, so I thought I'd give us a little bit of time to, like, perhaps figure this out. We know what we're doing. So we can just gab until our guest comes on at 11. How are you? I feel like I haven't talked to you in forever.
Yes, and I've been busy on the road, you know, working on my documentary of the behind-the-scenes stories of videos that have gone viral in the last year, and I just spent the day with this fabulous family that took the ice bucket challenge into the stratosphere.
Oh, because you did that. Oh, you told us a couple weeks ago about how you went to, I guess, an event, and you sat next to them.
Yes, and we had already wanted, I mean, talk about serendipity. We had already wanted to talk to them, and I ended up sitting next to them at this dinner at Harvard where we were all speaking at this neuro conference. It was crazy. It was like it was meant to happen, and it was so fabulous. To get to know them personally and how everything started and how everything took off. And so it was even more inspiring to spend the day with the Frady's family and just, you know, how this amazing young man has used his debilitating disease to make a tremendous impact in this world. And if you haven't done the Ice Bucket Challenge, you got to do it because you've got to get it.
I did it. Facebook. You got to do it. You got to do it with your kiddos.
Yeah, I did it too. I didn't do it with my kids, but I did do it. Actually, you know, we should do it again.
You did?
And I should do it with the kids. Oh, yeah. Of course.
Oh, because remember we all, Chaz did it. I did it. Aiden did it. I didn't know you did it. Oh, you have to
finally
post that.
On board.
So we can put it up on
finally
our Facebook.
On board. Okay, that's a deal.
Absolutely. Oh, that's awesome. I didn't realize that. That's so cool. So just in case people haven't heard about this kid's story, can you kind of start from the beginning with him? And
well,
let's just say, since we are live and we're dealing with tech stuff, I think your we're hearing you through your computer and your headphones.
You're hearing me through the computer and my headphones? I'm not on the computer.
You're only, am I on speaker?
Let me check.
See, this is what we do. People, normally, this is done before a show.
No, you're not on speaker.
I seriously love us. Okay, well, that's cool. Hopefully they can hear you okay.
It sounds fine. It's just a little echoey.
Hmm. I wonder if it's.
But who knows?
It could be the headset situation. What if I put the headset closer to me like this? Is that better?
That does sound better.
Is that better?
It totally sounds better, Mama.
So I needed to have it closer to my mouth.
There you go. All right. So I was telling. After you talked about this before, I told Aiden about this kid because, you know, he did the Ice Bucket Challenge and, you know, all his friends, you know, today is his last day of seventh grade. I know after today have officially an eighth grader. Can you believe that?
Oh,
but
my gosh.
He and all his friends were so inspired by this boy and what he did. So, and I don't think a lot of people know exactly how it all started. So, and you sat next to the parents, and we'd love to hear, like, from the very beginning.
How it all happened.
Yeah.
Well, they actually didn't create the initial idea. It was Pete Frady and his buddy that were both diagnosed. And his buddy said, hey, this is kind of getting some traction, this ice bucket, you know, idea. Because, you know, they were athletes. And what do athletes do after every game that they win? They dump the ice bucket over their head. And so they were doing it together. And then Pete just took it to another level. He just, you know, Pete Frady's has always been a big thinker. Ever since he was a kid, his parents were saying he was a born leader. Matter of fact, his mom let me read this speech that he wrote in the eighth grade when he was running for president. And it was so smart and so strong. And I mean, this kid is like beyond his years. You know how you meet young children and you're like,
yeah, it's like they're old souls. There are certain children that are just old souls. And you know them when you meet them. I know exactly what you're talking about.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. He is an old soul. And ever since he was a kid, he was always a leader. He was always inspiring people. He was always encouraging his fellow teammates, his friends. And so it really didn't surprise his family that this took off like it did. And, you know, here I was with Pete just a few years later after he was diagnosed and just seeing how he went from completely verbal and having all his you know, being able to walk and use his hands, and now we were communicating through our eyes. I mean, it was so fascinating. It really, I mean, it taught me something about the value of looking at somebody in the eyes. You know, people are so obsessed with technology. They don't even look at people anymore. They're in their phones. They're texting. They're typing. They don't actually sit down without distraction and look somebody in the eyes and have a conversation. And I think that was one of the most beautiful things about spending time with him, is that I had to figure out what he was saying to me by how he was looking at me, how he was blinking, who he was, you know, referring to through his eyes. I mean, it was humbling, and it was a beautiful experience.
That's incredible. So now you went beyond, so when you met them, is that when you decided you wanted to do this documentary? Is that
No.
That was already done.
So that's what you were saying.
See, look at that, the universe working in miraculous ways. It's incredible.
Incredible. It is. It is totally, completely incredible. So it was meant to happen. We were meant to meet, and we were meant to go forward and do this.
That's amazing. That's just amazing. So that's where you've been, but you went on a little vacay. You went to your hometown of San Diego.
That's right. I got involved with the Heart of Leadership, and it's this program that mentors high school girls, you know, encourages them to find their purpose and to stay focused on school and to think about college. And they held a seminar and showing a screening of the new documentary. If you haven't seen it, you have to check it out, The Empowerment Project. These two young documentarians that used to work in reality TV. One worked with Toddler and Tierra's. The other one worked, what was the other reality show? And everybody was like, oh, my gosh, no way. And they thought, you know what?
Dance Moms or Teen Moms. I don't watch any of that, but I know what you're talking. So it was Toddlers and Tierra's and
There was another totally different, you know, reality show that the other gal worked on. Oh, Dancing with the Stars. That was it. The other one worked with Dancing with the Stars.
Okay. I was getting ready to say, Damien Holbrooker, though, who's coming on in just a few minutes. But, yeah.
That's right. He'll know all the reality shows. He'll be able to talk about that.
He'll know it all.
That's right. Absolutely. And they said, we want to, you know, do something to make a difference. We want to put together a documentary that empowers women, lifts women up. So they traveled across the United States interviewing all these fabulous women. And so we showed the documentary at this Heart of Leadership conference, and there were all kinds of young girls there, a lot of them with their moms. And it was just a really empowering, fabulous night to encourage, you know, young girls to think about their future.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's really great. That's exactly what should be happening. And there's so much in the world right now that is frightening and sad that it's great that you do this kind of stuff. I'm sorry I sound a little distracted. Can you hear my cats, by the way? I know how much you love my cats.
Oh, I cannot hear the cats. No, I do not hear the cats. Thank goodness.
So I just really quickly before we bring on Damien Holver from TV Guide Magazine, it's been quite the week for me. Aiden, today is his last day of school. I know in Georgia, in Atlanta, you guys get out a little earlier, but in Virginia, today is the last day for our county. But this week he was playing in the pool with some friends, and he was coming. It was just one of those things where he was coming out of the water and somebody was going into the water, so he got smacked in the noggin with a kickboard.
Oh, no.
We end up in the emergency room.
And
it was, I know, right? It's like boys, and I know you get it because if it's not, you know, your daughter falling off her bike, it's like with kids, I feel like it's constantly something. I feel like I'm constantly having, like, some kind of ridiculous story. Anyway, he was so not acting right. It was really weird. I've never
experienced anything like that before. I don't even know that I've had a friend that's had a concussion before. And he didn't say anything when he got hit. But then after he was having dinner later at like 8 o'clock at night, because we were at the pool all day on Sunday, so it was like 8 o'clock before he was getting ready to go to bed. He's like, God, my head is killing me. He never has headaches. I know. And I didn't really think anything of it because he didn't tell me that he got hit. So I didn't know anything. I just figured he was tired and he had too much sun. So I gave him Gatorade and water and sent him to bed. He fell asleep like 5 minutes after he got into the bed. That never happens either. And then when he woke up in the morning, he didn't look right. And he was like reviewing his history final. And he was doing it in bed while eating breakfast because he likes breakfast in bed, like most men do. And I called up there. I said, Aiden, he wasn't answering. He had fallen back asleep. And this was like 45 minutes after he was awake. And I was like, this is not right. Something is very wrong. His eyes don't look right. Something's wrong. And I said, do you feel okay? He's like, no, my head is killing me. I said, and then that's when he told me that he got hit. So I called the pediatrician. They were like, no, go to the emergency room because he could have a concussion if he doesn't have a history of headaches. Sure enough, gets the thing, and he passes the test, but he has a minor concussion, and you have to watch it for like 24 to 48 hours. But the reason I brought this up is because he can't play video games because of you have to really relax. You can't do any kind of like exercise type activity. So we've been playing board games for the last 2 days, and that's what my cats are playing with right now on my hardwood floor. I don't wish a concussion on anybody, but how great is it that my kid is now playing board games with me?
Can I tell you something? First of all, I'm really glad that he's okay, but I think the positive part about this is you've got him on video games, and he's going old school with good, thoughtful board games. That's what we used to do, and more kids should do it.
Right. Oh, my God, we played Monopoly the other day, and he kicked my butt. I was like, this is really lovely. And then he had two friends over, and they were playing Battleship and Ninjago, and they brought out the old Uno, and I just, you know, it's terrible, and I need to watch it because he still is, like, not Aiden, but she was really confident that he's going to be okay, so I'm not trying to make light of concussion, so I don't want anybody to think that, but I really love that he's, like, can't play video games right now and is traveling with me and playing board games with me. And so,
yes. You've got to encourage that. You got to keep it going. That is
we do that, but it's not as often as it used to be. I mean, he had a couple friends over maybe a month ago, and they were in the kitchen playing Star Wars Monopoly. And I just loved that they were there, and I was making them snacks and stuff. Because that's what we used to do. I just love that whole thing. I just think that's awesome. And, yeah, it stinks that it would take a concussion to get our, you know, kiddos back to
back to playing board Monopoly.
Exactly.
Damien's supposed to join us now. Can we talk about him and get ready for this interview and the fact that we're taking viewers' questions live today?
Girl, I am calling him right now, and let me just tell you a little bit about him. I know I sent you an email. This guy first of all, he's fabulous. But he is a senior editor at TV Guide magazine. You can find him online and everywhere. Go to momsquadshow.com. But he was a regular, much like you, on Broadminded. But he is literally all-knowing guru of everything that is television. So if you've got questions about anything coming up in the summer, you know how we were a little upset about a few things that were canceled? He knows it all. So you can find him on our website, momsquadshow.com. I love him. I love him. So I'm going, hang on, keep talking. Something right, happened. He dropped off.
No, I'm with you. Are you dialing him up?
Am.
All right. So if you are listening, this is Kieran Christine with the Mom Squad Show. We are experimenting with this live format. Kind of, we don't even know if you can hear us, if you're participating, if you're listening, if you're going to have a question. Oh, I'm hearing some strange noises. I'm hearing a cough.
It'll be awesome to, we would like to know what you think. Whether you like this format or the other one better. Because, you know, you're listening to us, like you say, from South Korea to Cincinnati. So I'm going to have him call in. I think it's hilarious that we're doing this while we're on the air. Because I just try to call
this
him.
This is live,
and it didn't work.
Live radio, ladies and gentlemen, or live podcasting, shall
Dude,
we say.
This is the way it rolls. This is life. This is how it rolls. But anyway, Jamie Holbrook, everybody knows him. Everybody loves him. And do you have your list of questions? Because I'm telling you right now, I have 700 questions for him. I have questions from friends. And I hope people call in, too. But there's a lot going on in television right now. And I know we love our certain shows, which is awesome.
And
hang on a second. Damien?
You're right.
Hello.
Working, I can't believe it.
So fun.
Damien. Oh my god.
Yes.
Damien, Kira, Damien. Oh my god. I am like in seventh grade and my two best friends are meeting. This is so exciting. But in addition to that, we're doing something new today, which is we're live so that we could take calls for you. And we have
idea
what's working. So instead of podcasting, which we'll post it for later, but we're actually live right now. So welcome.
Nice.
To
hello.
Yes, so
thanks for having me.
Watch your tongue. Watch your tongue now.
Watch my tongue. Yes, because we're live. Okay. I only know Kira from watching her on TV. So it's nice to meet you.
It's great to meet you too. And you know we love dishing about all the shows. So you have all the inside scoop on all our shows.
I hope so. There's not a lot on right now to talk about.
I totally
we're getting
agree.
Excited.
Well, okay, for Damien, first of all.
Yes.
In case people, because, and I've said this, I think, three times now, which is probably annoying, but we have listeners, it's a little different than it was on SiriusXM with Broadminded, around the world. From South Korea to Cincinnati, Kira says, and I love it.
Wow.
So,
talking over each other. There's a little bit of a delay, so we better keep giving a heads up. Sorry about that. A little bit of a delay.
That's okay.
So can you introduce yourself to people in Korea that don't know who Damien Holbrook is? The fabulous Damien Holbrook.
The fabulous Damien. Well, I need to get that on my business cards. I'm Damien Holbrook. I am a senior writer at TV Guide magazine, which is the number one television magazine in America. And I've been doing it for 20 years. I do the Cheers and Jeers column, and I write for our new website called TVInsider.com as well.
Isn't it amazing that this magazine has been so popular and is still surviving, and you have been there for 20 years, two decades, when we're losing so much print? I mean, why do you think that this magazine just cannot go away?
I think with TV Guide magazine, it's the power of the reinvention, and that it's kind of institutionalized in family legacy. Like your grandparents had it, and then your parents had it, and then with this new generation, we've kind of evolved to really embrace the fans because there's so much TV. There's no way we can cover as much as there is out there. So what we do is we really respond to what the fans want to hear about. We watch for them. And we write for them, and we interact with them, and with social media and the new platforms, we're so able to plug into that. And it's so much fun because it really is, 100 years ago, everyone watched the moon landing. And now we watch everything together. You know, you can find somebody online to watch your TV show with.
That is so true.
Oh, my God.
So true. And people are doing social media, using social media to talk about it and tweet about it. And, yeah, it's really incredible.
And it really has, it's given way to everyone gets to have a voice. You know, so you're no longer just sitting there in your living room saying to yourself, like, oh, my God, The Bachelorette is crazy. You can actually be, you know, on Twitter talking with the producers of The Bachelorette.
Okay, but, oh, my God, The Bachelorette is crazy this year. Okay, but we have to have some kind of structure here.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'll just be total diarrhea of the mouth, which I know you know. it's crazy. But you can find Damien on our website, momsquadshow.com. He's under regular squad members. But Kira and I were talking a couple weeks ago. Can we start with the depressing stuff, which is some of the shows we love that we didn't realize were going away went away. Others, I could, you know, but it doesn't matter. But you know
others
how I am
like good
when I get attached to a show. Like, I'm not over that one town in Louisiana, and I know I always forget the name of it, and you always remind me what it was, but I'm still not over that. When you get
Invasion?
In the show, yes! And then it goes away.
Yeah.
Hate it. But
so what died young this year?
Following you. Well, first of all, The Following with Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
I never did see that, but the trailers, the previews always freaked me out.
Well, it was a hard sell. It was, you know, it was trying to be a premium cable thriller with a level of violence and scares that you probably wouldn't normally find on network TV. And because the story was spread out and it was dark, you know, I don't think people really connected with it as much as Fox wanted to, obviously, but Kevin Bacon was so good in that show.
Oh, dude, come on, give me a break. Yeah, but what about, we're talking about dark and violent shows. Look at Hannibal. Or look at all these, you know, and this is network television we're talking about. Hannibal is probably I think, way more violent than The Following. But
Hannibal's beautifully filmed.
Oh, my God. It's like watching
it's gorgeous
every week. It's seriously gorgeous.
Okay, wait a minute. How is it gorgeous to eat people? Please tell me. How do you make it?
It's gorgeously filmed. It's, you know, those meals, those dinners are, it's food porn. Granted, it is human bodies, but it's a visual feast. It's, you know, the cinematography on that show is just stunning. Everything looks impeccable.
And he has these flashbacks, Kira, here's an example of, I didn't see, so it's Friday, I didn't see last night's episode, but the week before, Hannibal literally took a body and, like, wrapped it in and of itself and made it look like kind of like a turkey thing, and, you know, because it was a symbolic thing that his heart was broken.
Yeah.
When this body, dead body in a church unraveled, it was the most disgusting thing ever. But beautiful at the same time. It's like
It's artful.
It's art. It is. I don't know how these guys sitting, the graphic designers on this show. It honestly is incredible. It's seriously.
But the greatest
amazing
thing is they truly put graphic into the graphic design.
Right.
Claudie.
Yeah. So all right, so you lost the Following. What else?
Because
we did lose a lot of good shows.
We lost a lot of good shows, and here's my question for everybody in the in normal life. So we hear that these shows are going to be canceled. It's like March or April, I guess. We hear they're going to be canceled.
Yeah.
But they've already filmed, and they don't know necessarily that they're canceled, like Revenge or The Following. So do they go back and re-film the end?
Well, not a lot of times. Sometimes they'll give them that heads up. I think Revenge actually did get the heads up, like, this is going to be your last season. I think they got that over the holidays. So they were able to kind of guide the story straight to a finale that worked for them. Because they definitely tied that story up. The Following, what they did was they filmed every season as the end of a chapter. So it could, the story could end there. They didn't try to do, you know, they didn't try to build in too many cliffhangers. So the end of the following this year, it ended with Ryan, Kevin Bacon's character, kind of hiding out, faking his death. So you kind of know, like, his story will go on, but they did wrap everything up.
Mm.
Right. Yeah. I think following was beautiful, yeah.
Why didn't Resurrection make it? My friend Frances Fisher was in there, and we were so excited that she was here, and we spent a lot of time together when she was shooting, and we were so excited about the beginning of that show. What do you think happened with that show, Damien?
I think Resurrection had that tough uphill climb of being based on another series. Well, it was based on a book, and it had the same idea of a series, a foreign series that had, you know, the same concept. So I think people got confused, and it also kind of, it was a very depressing show. It had, like, it had extraordinary performances, but it wasn't, you know, there was no draw. Like, it was a very unhappy setting. In the same way that American Crime, which was exquisite, you know, with acting, but it was a bummer.
And you know, we don't want a bummer. We don't want a bummer because we get enough bummers. In our lives, right?
You know, like, exactly. Like, we have news. We have life. When you're giving up an hour of your night, a lot of people aren't going to go, oh my God, I totally want to watch a show that's going to make me want to open my veins.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
And that's why something like Empire, you know, Empire popped because Empire was just like, it was vivacious, it was exciting, it was, you know, it was fun.
See, that's why I loved American Idol. I have to admit, Christine and I were constantly watching American Idol.
So I'm back in on American Idol's final season. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I agree.
Watch it ending.
I think there's been seasons where it's kind of gone back and forth, but Kira and I, I'm still a little shocked, though, that they decided to cut it. So why?
Like, I would imagine maybe abbreviate it. I think it was just getting too expensive. You know, it used to be cheap. I think it was just, you know, it started out as like, you know, watch the first two seasons, like watch the performances on YouTube. The set was smaller. Even the finale set was like, it was kind of rinky-dink. Now it was just like this overblown, like from the first or second live performances, they had the full choirs. They had the pyrotechnics, you know, all that stuff. I think it got expensive. And then when you're paying for J-Lo. You know, when you're paying for that panel to give up, you know, six months of their lives,
Oh, yeah.
So you've got to hold that in. And, you know, she's got her Vegas residency coming up, and Harry Connick wants to do all these other projects. And, you know, I love that. And Keith Urban tours constantly. They had to pay those people a ton to lock them in.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely the greatest panel, though. Three of
them
are incredible.
Love
them.
Yeah,
they were great.
I want the final season to just, and it'll never happen, but I want them to give up, you know, the find a new talent and do like a final season all-stars challenge. We're bringing the people that made the top 10.
That's a great idea.
You know, because then you know you've got to build in fan base already. You're going to get those calls from the people who wanted that person to win, you know, and then it would be like a blood match.
That's actually really it's a brilliant idea, but yeah, it would be. But that would be. I would totally watch that. By the way, like bring back Bucky, and oh my gosh, remember? What's his face? Who kept touching his heart? Tight pants. And he would touch his.
There was Matt Gerard. I want to see like Myra Gray from the first
now
season.
It's on Broadway.
Constantine.
Oh yes, Constantine.
I saw him in Rock of Ages. He was great in Rock of Ages.
He was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Loved him. He was so good.
And I'm still wondering why Fox hasn't figured out. Like, Fox is doing Grease Live, and they want to do the Rocky Horror Picture Show remake. I'm stunned that they just haven't figured out, like, just go get veterans from American Idol and cast them in these shows.
It's brilliant.
Right?
That's so brilliant. Oh, my God. Aren't you, like, producing network television? Hello, you got a new job.
I know. Well, I still think Adam Lambert should play Frankenfurter in their Rocky Horror.
Oh, he's great.
Absolutely.
He'd be amazing.
Yeah. So, Christine, we've got questions. Don't we have questions for Damien?
We do. We do have questions. I just wanted to, when we finish the bummer part of all this, so we're losing American Idol. I just want to kind of get that out of the way. Is there anything else that we're shocked or bummed out about? I feel like I'm missing something that got canceled.
Well,
we're aware of it.
I think it's just the concept of, like, the absolute death of comedy on NBC, that they're scheduling 1 hour of comedy next year. Like, 1 hour on a Friday night. One of them will be live. It's that that Undateable show with all the stand-up comedians, which makes sense. But the comedy that they've picked for their other half hour of comedy a week is terrible.
Like, Marry Me, and I love that actress. All of it, it's just atrocious. They've got, I don't know what's going on over there, but you're right. Their dramas are fantastic. Like,
the dramas are great.
Simple, again, like Wayward Pines, which we can get into in just a second. All of that. Wait, no, that's on Fox. But the dramas are great. I don't know what happened with their comedy. It's a mess.
They don't know what's going on. I mean, that's why Kimmy Schmidt went to Netflix. Like, they literally told Tina Fey and Robert Carlock, we're not launching successful comedies. You are free to, like, sell this somewhere else.
Wow.
I
wonder why that is. We're saying that America doesn't want depressing shows. Now people don't want comedies?
Right. I know. Where you look at ABC, and ABC's crushing it with their comedies.
Crushing it. Yeah.
I don't know. See, I like a really good drama. Look, I love Nashville. I love kind of that. Not very cheesy soap opera. I love Mistresses. I'm obsessed with
Right, exactly. Those are the shows that, like, they suck you in and they excite you.
Yeah,
you know, like,
exactly.
You end, like, how are they going to tie up the idea of Mistresses not, you know, like, coming back without Alyssa Milano? Like, who's going to be the next, you know, dating disaster? And, like, what about Juliet on Nashville? Like, who's she going to end up with? Those are, like, the fun, addictive things. But, like, when you've got a heavy, heavy drama, you better be doing spectacular. Like, you better be doing 13 episodes like Cable does.
Exactly.
You know, or you better build something in where it's some kind of positivity.
Speaking of ABC, so the new, based on the book, The Astronaut Wives, heard? You said, like, this summer there's no television. I normally would agree with you, but I feel like in the past couple of years, I don't know who was listening, but we bitched enough that now there's good stuff going on. Like, we've got Wayward Pines, now Netflix releases
well,
new
that,
shows
yeah.
starting in the
network,
summer. So now we
network
have
wise,
to watch in the summer CBS Under the Dome. Like, they're, I think they get it now that there is
they know how to program.
Like,
they know to program. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like with Netflix, like, they release it all and, you know, you could be done it. Like, Orange is the New Black starts and then you're done it in a weekend. So,
I know.
You know, but, like, when you go to look for, like, a weekly show, I loved The Astronaut Wives Club. Totally. That's a show that I'll go back to. No, the show. That's a show that I will go back to. Now, my roommate read the book, and she actually just finished it. So I was actually, like, pumping her for kind of spoilers about these characters that I'm already connected to after one episode.
No. I know.
Yeah.
So it premiered last night, Kira, on ABC, right? Was last night?
Yes. Last night.
Yeah. I'm totally hooked too. So I don't know that I want the spoilers. Did you watch it, Kira, by any chance?
No, I was traveling. I was, got back. Yeah, but I love the previews. Look great, and I remember everybody talking about the book. I mean, it kind of gives you that Mistresses feel, like that everybody's got this inside drama going on.
Right, because these women were, you know, they didn't know really what they had signed up for, being the wives of astronauts. So, you know, not only did they have to look at the fact that their husbands were becoming these national heroes, but they were also, you know, putting themselves in the most dangerous machine ever. And, you know, they had groupies. So I just wanted to know, like, with the book, like, I was asking my roommate, I'm like, how did this marriage turn out? How did they, you know, like, I wanted to know because I don't know where the story in the show is going to, how, you know, how honest it's going to be. But I like one episode in, I was like, I care about these women.
I'm already invested. I'm totally invested. Yeah, you and John will love, because you guys do Nashville and you will love the Astronaut Wives. But also, I was a huge Dexter fan, and we've got two major characters from Dexter appearing in Astronaut Wives. And I didn't recognize Shepard, the guy that's playing the character of Shepard.
Oh, right, yes.
He
got
has
so
lost
thin.
So much weight.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He's so skinny.
That's Desmond Harrington. He looks so much now like Scott Glenn, who played it in The Right Stuff.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then you have Yvonne Strahovski from Dexter and Chuck playing the wife, and she looks amazing.
She looks amazing, but she was mad. Did you do Dexter, Kira?
Yeah.
Playing it?
No, it was too violent for me, too vulgar.
It's way violent.
It's super violent. Also,
super
not artful.
Violent. Not artful. Not like Hannibal Arpa.
Yeah. So I love that. So, Kira, you're totally into the soapy stuff.
Yeah, I have found I like to kind of live vicariously. And so I get caught up in I think I love Nashville because I'm totally into the music and the songwriting, and I love the whole country scene.
Yeah.
And then Mistresses is just like everybody has their skeletons and their secrets. So it's like I know people like that, or I've been living through it, or I've seen it, or, so there's reality to these dramas. Mm-hmm. And there's also parts, too, like in Nashville – I mean, come on, who can't fall in love with Deacon? You know, everybody.
Right?
Wants, you know,
oh, for
everybody.
Dude, his butt is. Remember the
my
butt scene
God.
That we replayed over and over?
That man.
He's a humble.
He's
underdog
on my Twitter.
Hot. You know, that you just kind of want everything to work out.
Yeah. That man.
Dude.
That man. Yeah.
I will tell you, though, I got to call you out, Kira. Kira was giving me a hard time last year. Here we go.
Uh-oh.
About Scandal. And I said, just give it a try. And she totally came back and apologized. I'm probably in the minority. I feel like it maybe has jumped the shark. I was not happy with the ending.
Scandal?
I know. See, now you are me, how I was a season ago when I was trying to talk you into watching this stupid show with Linda Dano and I, and you were like, you guys are ridiculous. And now you're totally invested, and now I'm out.
No, see, all right, so Scandal, I understand where it lost you. The first half of her being in captivity and then being sold on the black market and all that stuff, like that, I was like, what is going on here? Where are the gladiators and all this? Once they got them all back together, the second half of that season just gave me life. It was so great. Everything was crazy. Everything was fast-paced again. She's dealing with this, like, crazy post-traumatic stuff. The family's all messed up. I'm in. I'm so back in.
I'm with you. I'm back in, too.
And How to Get Away with Murder? Oh, my God.
Okay, that show's ridiculous.
It's insane, and I love how insane it is.
I do, too. I just...
To Get Away with Murder is that show... How to Get Away with Murder is that person we all dated who was, like, crazy fun, but then we realized they were just crazy.
We've had plenty of those. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Remember the stalker? Oh.
Yep.
They show up very unexpectedly, and then they show up when you're on another date, and then they up, you know, when you're
and
making
and they're Facebooking
out.
You. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my
it's
God.
It's amazing.
All right, so what do we need to be looking for? What do we not know about? What do we not know about?
What do you not know about? Well, we'll have True Detective starting this season, this weekend, the new True Detective, which is – it's very different from the first season in that it feels more – okay, well, this one feels a little bit more like if they – have you ever seen – okay, have you seen the Hunger Games movies?
I have not.
Okay, well, the first Hunger Games movie is filmed very, it's very grim. It's very, it's got like off-putting camera angles. It feels a little scrappier. The first True Detective felt like that. The second movie, the second Hunger Games movie, was definitely more Hollywood and polished. That's what season two is. It's definitely more Hollywood.
Oh, is it? Because, you know, Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey were incredible.
I mean, incredible. I say Harrelson was even better than McConaughey.
Absolutely.
He wasn't just playing his normal goofy.
He's also
crazy. You know, when you got a little personal crazy, you're usually a better actor.
That's true.
But he definitely has crazy, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look at, like, yeah, he's done Hugh Hefner, right? Wasn't he?
Yep. No, the other one. The Hustler guy.
Hustler.
Larry Flynn.
Larry, thank you. Yeah, he's got a little crazy, but the two of them together were seriously incredible. So I mean, I don't know. I saw them on Jimmy Fallon last night. I just was like, oh, how is this going to, I don't know. But
right.
I think it's
it feels a little crowded.
Worth a try.
It feels a little like you got to pay attention to us. We're big now. The thing that I'm obsessed, the show that I'm obsessed with this summer is Unreal.
Really?
Ooh. Tell us about it.
Kira, you will love this. It is, and Christine, you'll love it too, because it is, it's a drama on Lifetime, okay? It's a behind-the-scenes show about the making of a Bachelor-type show.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. There's got to be so much saucy drama.
So much. And you've got, like, the horrible showrunner, this woman, Constance Zimmer, who's amazing. And she's, like, this monster TV producer.
Gosh, yeah.
She's so evil. And then she's got this, like, executive producer played by Shiri Appleby, who, like, was, like, the girl on Roswell. And she's super unstable. She's just coming back from a meltdown. And they're filming the new season of this show called Enchanted. And it shows, like, how they manipulate the contestants and how the lead guy, like the bachelor guy, is sleeping with everyone. And one of the head writers...
Kind of like the Bachelorette.
Isn't he like a hotel dude or something?
What's that?
Isn't he like a hotel heir or...
Yes, he's a hotel heir.
Okay.
And
yeah,
it is so, it's first of all, for Lifetime, it is super dirty, but it's so juicy and fun, and like all these characters are like really extreme, and you don't know who's going to do what next. And one of the creators of the show actually worked on The Bachelor for a season. So she's brought like all this inside baseball knowledge. Yeah. And then the other person, the other creator is Marty Noxon, and she's worked on like Buffy and Angel and The Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce, which is so good on USA. So it's smart, it's sexy. I'm obsessed with it.
I have to check it out.
Yeah.
I know, that does sound like something that Kira, you and I would like. But can we just, speaking of in the vein of The Bachelor, can we just talk about The Bachelor?
Oh, my God.
Okay. Okay, I know. Okay. So, are you watching?
No, I'm not. Here's how I look at The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, okay? They are such
minor television.
They are such train wrecks, and it's such mindless television that I just have to take a peek, and it's like, so I just want to see enough where I can go, ugh. He's so trashy, or he is such a goober, or this is so cheesy. It's just enough to think, why do people even watch this? This is pathetic.
Yeah. They are, it's one of my favorite things because every season, if it's
ever.
The Bachelorette, it's really not about the girl. It's not about the Bachelorette itself. It's about the guys vying for her and how bitchy they get and how insecure they get or, like, super competitive. And this season, they're amazing. These guys are, like, some of them are sex idiots and some of them are just, like, way too vain for their own good. But I love the fact that this girl, Caitlin Bristow, I love that she's, like, admitted that she's banged a bunch of them.
Well, she was, what was it, the second week that the comedian came on and she's like, oh, yeah.
Amy Schumer. Yeah.
But can we talk about the guys, those two that had the bromance? Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
They were completely gay. I am so sorry.
Was it JJ and Clint?
Kira, they had. Yeah. They were literally, they were all but,
yeah.
you know, having sex and making out in the jacuzzi.
Pretty much.
I mean, they
yeah.
literally had fallen in love. I mean, they even said in, like, their sit-down interviews, I didn't know.
But then
I
they had, like, that really ugly breakup.
Dude, what is that
yeah.
about? He
but the one guy is still on the show. Yeah.
How is that possible? He's gross, by the way. I find him just foul and disgusting. JJ, or what? Yeah.
JJ,
JJ
yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
I
That's
think
Goof.
The
when you're
guy,
done this.
The kind of Goomba, the Goomba dinky guy.
He's a goober, but he's, like, good-looking enough. Like, he's successful, but, like, he's an idiot.
Is he?
Well, that's the thing. Like, they always, like, change, yeah. they always change their job descriptions to sound something, like, really important. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, from different angles, he's, like, tolerable. But right on, I'm like, really? Why he's just not.
No, you have to Google when you're done this, Google the kid from Year Without a Santa Claus. And he looks like Cornelius.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, yeah. Totally, like, with the buck teeth and everything. Yeah. But, like, this week with the guy Ian who was like, I could be the bachelor. I'm a catch. I'm a good-looking guy.
God.
I have enough sex in my life. I had really high hopes for him, and then he turned into, like, Captain I Love Me.
Overnight, he was
yeah.
like the forerunner. He was like, I'm here for you, I'm here for you. And he turned into a total
yeah.
douchebag.
Total tool.
Yeah.
So upset.
Yeah, I don't know what. So basically, here are the preview for next week. She definitely goes, she bangs somebody. And then
she
all
bangs
the other
somebody.
Guys.
Yeah.
She totally bangs somebody.
Yeah.
Do you think that she bangs a guy that she brought in from the previous season?
I think
okay,
so.
Watch her language. Let's watch our language.
Yes. I think she, I definitely think she
yeah.
ends up in that room with that guy, Nick, that she brought in from the previous season, or the guy she gave the first impression rose to, Sean.
Right. That's what I was wondering. Or
it's one of those guys.
The cutie pie with the amazing face and the brown.
The guy with the jawline?
What is up with that jawline?
The guy with that
he's
crazy jawline,
gorgeous.
He looks like a CW star? Yeah, Jared.
He's Jared.
Yeah. Now, in the real world, like, that guy Ben Z, like the football player, forget it. It would have been like, boys, you all need to go home. This one is staying.
All right, we have got to get some questions in for Damian.
Yes.
Okay.
All right,
okay,
do we have questions?
We do. This is actually from a couple, Jen and Jason. So now we're moving to AMC, which I do want to talk about Mad Men finale. But this is about The Walking Dead.
Yes.
They are asking about, there's a spinoff
yes.
to The Walking Dead. That
yes.
So they want to know what it's about. Is it an online thing or is it actually going to be a series? Because it's a long email, but they said, kind of like Wayward Pines, you know how Microsoft is sponsoring those little vignettes online?
Yeah, the Gone shorts, yeah. No,
like,
this is an actual AMC spinoff. It will air starting in August. It's called Fear the Walking Dead, and it is it's set in Los Angeles, and it will kind of give us the information on how it all started, how the zombie apocalypse started, who were the first people to encounter the infection. And it's going to be a huge, huge deal because it's kind of like the first real, you know, it's the first time we're going to address all the backstory. So, and it's got all the same executive producers and writers. It's got a whole new cast. We may see some crossover with the current Walking Dead, but remember that's set in Atlanta. This is where it all started in Los Angeles.
Okay. Here's my problem. I think they're greedy. They're getting greedy. They're getting greedy, and this is going to ruin it. If they wanted to tell us a backstory, show backstory with The Walking Dead, because it is
right.
the highest rated
most watched show on television right now.
Right.
You can't, I think that, yeah, they're just trying to, and it's all new characters, right? And it's and I recognize a lot of those characters, but to me, they're just getting greedy.
Well, you think, yeah, they're definitely getting greedy. I mean, it's a network, it's television. I mean, none of these people are putting together shows because they want, you know, to expand humanity. They want, you know,
they got
expand
their Talking Dead.
Yeah. But this one,
like,
But this one, like, they can't really give us the backstory of the outbreak because Walking Dead is basically through Rick's perspective, and he was in a coma when all this started.
He
was in a coma during the whole thing.
All right.
So, and if it started somewhere else, they couldn't, you know. So I hope, I hope it's a little bit more exciting than Walking Dead because I just kind of find it like a bunch of unbathed people sitting around different locations every season talking about how they have to move to the next location. And then every once in a while a zombie shows up.
It has kind of fallen off. I am definitely not as invested or excited as I was in previous seasons. I wasn't. But it did kind of pick up for me with the craziness when they finally got in that little area.
That weird town.
That weird town in Virginia, by the way, right down the street from where I live.
But that season where they were set in like the farm, I was like, oh my God, someone do something. Cut off that old man's arm, anything, whatever. Do something exciting. Because, again, like the Walking Dead, like they're not fast-moving zombies, so they don't really have the element of surprise on them. And honestly, if you turn the corner and there's a zombie there, you weren't paying attention.
Just run.
Yeah.
In the first couple of seasons, it did appear like that they couldn't get away from them. And now all of a sudden, you're like, how did they ever get eaten in the first place? Because,
exactly.
Do a fast-paced walk.
Exactly. Just a brisk, Just step it up once. You know, like it's basically like being chased down by a bunch of 90-year-olds.
Walkers.
By the way, I'm enjoying this conversation because this is one thing I am so not tuned into. So I'm sitting on the bench watching you guys play this one out.
Yeah, it's one of those shows that I pay attention to. I watch, but I'm always like at the end of the hour, I'm like, they didn't really do much in this. It's kind of like Mad Men with zombies. Beautifully shot and, you know, great acting. But, like, good Lord, Mad Men? For 7 seasons, I was waiting for them to do something. When the highlight of a season is, they launched an ad campaign. Really?
I never bought into it.
And I don't know if some of that was my, like, backlash against how people were just, like, falling all over themselves about it. And I was like, I kind of like Gossip Girl more.
Yeah, you're like, Pretty Little Liars, bring it on.
Oh, Pretty Little Liars. Oh, my addiction.
Okay. Yeah, my agent, by the way, is now 13, Damien. And
oh, no.
All his friends, I know, how did that happen?
Oh, my God.
Are into Pretty Little Liars. It's all the rage in middle school.
It's so good.
I know. Everybody that I ever talk to or hear about it is like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that adults are finally admitting that they love it because now I don't feel like such a weird pervy guy. Yeah.
Definitely don't want you feeling pervy.
No, not at all. Not in this day and age.
No, right? Did you watch the finale of Mad Men and what did you think about the final scene?
I kind of thought it was goofy.
You did?
Yeah, like, I didn't know that was the trajectory our character was heading for. Like, it wasn't, like, the show wasn't about his spiritual journey.
No, he is a dog. This is a man.
Right, like, I expected, like, I wanted him to end, like, fat and bloated from cirrhosis and alone. Because that's
like
what,
you
like, you reap. You reap what you sow.
Right.
You know, he used people, he cheated, he lied, he overdrank, he was like every vice possible. You know, and then he like creates a Coca-Cola ad and finds Nirvana.
Sounds like a typical husband.
It's, you know what it is? It was male fantasy. It was like the male fantasy. Like, he got to live this incredibly decadent life and screw over all these people. But at the end of the day, he got to be the hero.
He was by himself.
Yeah.
Did men really think like that? Men think like that, Damien. Seriously, that's the ultimate fantasy, is to be a complete jerk.
I think the fantasy is to not have consequences.
I'm pretty sure that was the way it was. I think it was pretty stinking accurate for that time. I mean, honey, and you know, the way that the women were treated, it was just incredible. Like, watching that, I just wanted to jump to the television and go, "Are you kidding me? This is so ridiculous." I mean, the way they treated Peggy, and the fact that I disliked the fact that Peggy was the one, like, all along, that was kind of his, I guess, muse or whatever.
Peggy was the boss.
Him out.
Yeah. Peggy was a total boss. Yeah.
And the fact that
Joan was a boss.
Fell in love in the end. Oh, Joan was the boss.
Yeah.
And
the funny thing is, I feel like we left that show with more respect for Peggy and Joan than we did for the men that we were, like, brought
in
with.
Absolutely. And I think that that is the way they had a – I think that that was – I really do.
Yeah.
Because
That was a great scene.
He says to him, don't you want to do coke? And he's like, I just can't. And then he goes and he meditates, and then you see the Coca-Cola commercial. I want to, you know. So it was Peggy. It was Peggy.
Yeah.
Peggy. It was all Peggy the whole time.
She was, you know, it was that whole, you know, behind every great man.
There's an even better woman.
So Nancy from Houston wants to know if you have watched the new season of Under the Dome, which is, I guess, going to air in a few weeks.
I think it starts in July. They have not sent links out to the first episode yet, because the first episode is going to be a big reveal of, like, why are these people under the dome? Who's created it? I know that Marga Helgenberger, when she joins the cast, she will be directly connected to why the dome ever happened.
Oh, really? I did see that she's joining. And that's based on the Stephen King novel.
Yes, based on the novel, but it's three seasons in now, so they've gone so far beyond what the story was of the book that everything now is original content.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, even like the character that she'll be playing is a completely original creation.
But he is a producer on the show, right? So he still has
He still has input. He wrote, I think he wrote and directed the first episode of last season. And he's on set a lot, and you know, he keeps an eye over everything, but at this stage of the game, like, It's the writers on that show that are doing the storytelling.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, sticking with Kim wants to know, I don't know where Kim is from. Kim wants to know, sticking with books that are turning into TV shows, about Vue, the James Patterson novel.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is like something they've been working on for ages at CBS. It's James Wolk. He set at a zoo, and what they find out is that the animals start behaving in this crazy way. And as it gets worse and worse, it starts to, you know, spread to other animals outside of the zoo, and it's what's going on. There's obviously a supernatural element. They're not revealing a lot. Again, they haven't made it available for screening yet because they're still doing a lot of post-production. But I think it's going to be along the lines of, it'll have scares, it'll have more story, and it'll have the supernatural stuff, which I think CBS is kind of definitely opening itself up to that, because they're going to have Supergirl next season.
Oh.
So they're cultivating a little bit more of a more of an expanded kind of feel. Because normally, like, CBS, the most supernatural they had was, like, The Ghost Whisperer and when they picked up Medium. But now really embracing the idea. Well, now they're embracing the idea of, like, that these shows are very popular again.
Why is that? Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember Touched by an Angel. That was the big show. Remember Touched by an Angel?
Huge.
Yeah. Yes.
And there's, you know, and I think it's because whether you believe or not, everybody wants to, everybody's got a little something spiritual in them. Whether they doubt it, believe it,
yep.
You know what I mean?
I agree with that. I think yep. Deep within everybody, there's something. There's that, like, you know, a disbelief, you know, they want to see how it's portrayed, a belief, you know. So I think there's something that draws a lot of people to that. And it's that whole idea of, you know, even if you don't believe, you know, you're going to watch, say you go to the movies and you watch Jurassic Park. Well, nobody believes in that stuff either, but it's the entertainment of how it's produced.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, it's escapism.
We all want answers. We all want to know the
yeah.
meaning of life.
And I think we all, at the end of the day, also want to be told, like, it's going to be okay.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Are you guys, well, I know, Kara, you're not watching it, but are you watching AD, Damien?
No.
They
stretched it out so much.
Mark Burnett's be amazing, though. I mean, he can definitely put together a production. And, you know, that's because he's a really strong Christian. I mean, he's
yep.
huge.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
So
they're
huge
super, yeah. And there's, so when you love something so deeply, that tends to show in your work.
Yes.
You know,
yeah,
that's
definitely.
Like when you look at a show like on CW, they have Arrow and The Flash, and they're like these two great superhero shows. That are, they're really doing well, they're really well done, and you find out that the guys producing this show have a love for this stuff. They love
exactly.
doing what they're doing, and it shows. And with Mark Burnett, like, you know, these are passion projects for him, and he's also got piles of money to pour into them.
Exactly.
Oh, but the
exactly.
two of them, they are a power couple and a force
yeah.
to reckon with. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
I watched them on Dateline and how they met and this whole, I mean, they literally lift each other up.
They're the cutest couple.
A little bit.
I interviewed them back in January.
I know.
I interviewed them in January, and they're like that couple that is like, they hold hands, they look at each other when they talk. Like, they're super cute.
Yeah, they're the real deal. They're the real deal.
They really are. Okay, finally, Kira, I want to end on this because I want to play something for you. Either one of you, I know, okay, either one of you, and I literally woke up in the middle of the night laughing out loud, and I went, oh, my gosh, I cannot wait to play this for Damien and Kira. Do you guys watch Happy-ish on Showtime?
No.
No, I'm totally into Grace and Frankie right now on Netflix.
Oh.
Oh my gosh. I mean, well, while I'm
I can't believe that we haven't talked
about
this.
I love it.
I'm
obsessed with it.
Oh my gosh, it's awesome. I mean, Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin have still got it going on, and the dynamic that they play. Lily Tomlin is the hippie chick that, you know, smokes pot and has her Native American ceremony.
Yeah.
And her adopted kid.
Which is so close to who she is.
Oh, totally. And then Jane Fonda plays the uppity snob, woman that's trying so hard to, like, get in touch with being genuine. I mean, it's incredible, this dynamic between them. But that's another show, like Damien, I was saying, that I kind of live vicariously through these shows.
Yeah.
It's like, The Nashville is sort of like the younger years, and Grace and Frankie, I'm kind of thinking, wow, I'm moving in that direction, you know? I'm the one that's been worrying about this stuff when I'm 70. Oh, my God.
So funny.
You know? And there's so many funny things. So many funny things you can relate to, like Jane Fonda trying to break up with her boyfriend, and they have this whole scenario. And then Lily Tomlin says, "Oh no, he was eating on Ambien. He doesn't remember anything."
Yeah, eating on Ambien. Which is so true, because if you've ever dealt with anyone on Ambien, they don't know half the things they've done. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And those two, I feel like there are scenes between those two women that aren't scripted. It's just the two of them kind of just like riffing. Yeah.
I agree.
Oh,
and
that's on. What is it on?
That is on Netflix.
Netflix?
Yeah.
Yes, Netflix.
I saw it when I was doing my, major, binging on Orange is the New Black. I saw the photo of them. So,
you've
got to
watch Grace and
Frankie because it's us, Christine. It's totally us. I just want to shoot Frankie.
Is it when we're like 90?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that's amazing. Not 90.
70.
Well, that's what we always say. We're like, we're going to continue doing this in our pajamas, in the same room probably.
In the home.
If I ever get married, both our husbands are dead, our kids are out of the house, and we're just going to be sitting there doing a podcast. Because that's what we love to do.
Eating our applesauce. Eating our applesauce.
Exactly.
Knock each other's teeth out. We'll have already knocked each other's teeth out.
Come here, Kira. I got you. Let me floss
over
here. Honey, I got it today.
And Christine will be hooked up. She'll be hooking up with all the dudes in the old folks' home.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Of course you will.
I will have to be passing around. You know how they have all have venereal and random diseases because they don't use condoms?
Oh, yeah.
Because in the nursing homes, you hear about that?
Yeah.
All the time?
Oh, yeah. They're super active.
By the way.
God bless them.
Exactly.
Right, I know.
Gotta have fun somehow. Goodness gracious.
Good for them, honestly.
All right, really quickly, for the two of you, and I'm pulling it up on my television. I had it up earlier, but because we're testing out something new. Happy-ish, and I so love this show because it's about this couple. They have one son that they love each other and hate everybody else in the world. And are just like, and because all these television shows have these couples that are constantly, like, you know, fighting and they don't get along. This is a couple that they literally, if it wasn't for the two of them, they wouldn't make it through the world. They hate everything else and everybody else around them. It's so well done, and it is so good. But Kira, they did, and this past week's episode, their son is obsessed with Frozen. So he's dressing up as the princess and constantly singing the song. And, you know, we all love our children. And I watched, you know, when Aiden was that age, Nemo 700 times. And at one point I wanted Dory in a pan and served on a platter. You know, you can't help it. It's not, you know, whatever. But she's got these great monologues. But at the end of the show, you guys, they do this whole production. And she literally dresses. What's the name of the princess, Kira?
Elsa.
Elsa and Anna.
Okay, Elsa and Anna. So they do this whole elaborate thing, and she's got the dress on, and she does. I will post on MomSquadShow.com her monologue about. Oh yeah, it's really healthy for us to have our kids, you know, look up to a girl that was locked in a room by her parents because she was different, you know, and
she
goes mad. So here's the end song. Ready?
Oh, no.
I hope you guys hear it.
Oh, no.
Outside, she'll be free. Bet it ain't that easy. Some of us need more than her. Some of us love. She does.
Demented.
Oh my gosh. Okay, for full disclosure, I could not understand a damn word. So I hope you all could.
Okay.
Oh.
Instead of let it go, it's Lexapro, Lexapro. I need
that is amazing.
Every day. It's brilliant. It is brilliant. Because
you have,
every
in that single clip, you have now turned me onto this show.
Oh, it is. These actors are genius. I will post them on Twitter. It is brilliant. I
love Steve Coogan.
Oh, I know. Oh, God. Speaking of hot. It is, you laugh out. I literally laugh out loud. And I love that they love each other so much. And they just, they give I pictured Kira, you and John, like, giving each other these looks like everybody else is, everybody else in the world are just a bunch of, you know, a-holes. And we'll just make it through with our kids. Even though I have to watch Frozen 700 times,
yeah.
I'll do it. But I hate it sometimes. It is so good.
So funny. All right, I'm going to watch it today.
Yeah,
I'm going to put off.
It's really brilliant.
I'm going to put off transcribing interviews, and I'm going to watch this now.
It's on Showtime. You can catch it on demand. I totally recommend Happy-ish. You guys, both of you will love it. It is, honestly, it's really great television. So, Damien, I'm so glad you came on.
Thank you so much for having me. This is awesome.
Thanks, David. You're a blast.
Thank you. Thanks, Kira. It was great meeting you. Hopefully, I can come back soon.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm gonna get Damien to watch one of my documentaries. I want him to. I want to get his feedback on my work because you give good constructive criticism. You can make me better, Damien.
Awesome. I'm obsessed with documentaries right now too. So hook me up.
Ooh, all right.
My girlfriend
does. I've got some good ones.
Excellent. Excellent. I look forward to it.
Like catches. Oh, Damien, she goes in and catches pedophiles in Disneyland. She's catching, you know, like in Utah. Like, it's good. She's
I'm
good.
All about the documentaries. What I want are documentaries to be used to, like, bring people down and, like, break the truth. I need this. I don't need, I don't need to be told, like, gluten. I need to know, like, where my goddaughter is at, like, at risk at Disney World or shit like that. Stuff like that, sorry.
Yeah. All good.
Let me clarify, because Christine, it was an investigation into sexual predators in our theme park, and they were not caught. They were not caught assaulting any kids on the property. Yeah, see, this is where Christine will get me in trouble, Damien. I gotta make sure I clarify.
I apologize. She's right.
We're live. No, what it was is it was a bunch of sex things where employees at Disney World, Universal, and SeaWorld were arrested.
Oh, my God.
So these sexual predators are working in theme parks, and that's what parents and relatives of, like you said, your godchildren, your nieces, your nephews.
How is that possible?
Well, think about it, Damien. I mean, you know,
Sexual
predators go where the kids are. They go where their kids are. They want to be.
What job are you getting? Right. What job are you getting?
But don't they have to register in, like, background checks?
So therein lies the heart of the problem. Is a lot of times these guys have not been caught, and so there is no rap sheet. Okay.
Wow.
Also, a lot of sex offenders do not register, and you know, I mean, these guys get busted more than they get caught, and that is what's frightening. But the great thing about it is our story triggered legislation that's been introduced now in Florida by one of the congressmen, and it is to make these guys go through lie detector tests before they're hired in these theme parks.
Wow. Wow.
Now, this is why we need people like Kira out there doing this.
Yeah,
the
definitely.
Hard work, you know?
Yeah, definitely hook me up with these because I would love to see that.
I will definitely. I'll get your info from Christine and I'll send you some stuff, Damien. I'd love it.
Excellent. Thank you so much, you guys. Thank you
and
for this.
For
this
the
was
rest
so
of the
much
planet,
fun.
And for the rest of the planet, please go to momsquadshow.com. Damien Holbrook is under regular squad members. We love you. Love you.
Love you
so
too.
Excited to be on the show. And we will have you back. So thank
definitely.
You so much. And ladies and gentlemen, I play this for you as we go out.
Thanks, Damien.
Thank you, guys. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye. Lexapro, Lexapro.
This boy be real sadness. Stephanie the call.
Thanks for listening, Mom Squad.